The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Folks, welcome to the Eric Metaxas Show, sponsored by Legacy Precious Metals. There's never been a better time to invest in precious metals. Visit LegacyPMInvestments.com. That's LegacyPMInvestments.com.
Welcome to the Eric Metaxas Show with your host, Eric Metaxas.
Hey there. Guess what, Albin?
Yes, sir.
You already know. You already know.
I know.
This is that time of the week when we do a segment we call Ask Metaxas. You read the question. People have sent in all these questions. We try to get as many as we can, and I try to answer them. So what is the first question?
Okay, so Bonnie in KC has written to ask. She says, I'm reading your book, Bonhoeffer, and the Lord is speaking to my heart. I do have one question. What does it mean to move from confession to conspiracy?
That's a famous Bonhoeffer phrase, moving from confession to conspiracy. Or maybe it was his best friend, Eberhard Baitke, who talked about it. But what he means is to confess what you believe. In other words, not to confess like to a crime, but to confess my faith is to speak, to tell people what I believe. He says at some point we move from confession to conspiracy. It means that Bonhoeffer at some point essentially said, I'm going to have to start talking less about what I believe and living what I believe. In other words, under the Nazis, their ability to say things went down because they were losing their freedoms. And he said, we're going to have to be subversive. We're going to have to enter the conspiracy against the Nazis as an expression of our faith. In other words, we're going to live out our faith by resisting the Nazis, by working against the Nazis, by getting involved in the conspiracy against Hitler and the Nazis. And so in a sense, we have to go underground. And it's an amazing thing. If you've read my Bonhoeffer biography, I do talk about it in there. But it's an amazing thing when you realize, okay, I'm going to stop talking, but I'm going to do something more dangerous than talking. I'm going to live out my faith by being subversive to the evil regime. So that's what it means. Thank you, Bonnie.
Wow, good one here. The second question, do you use the term evolved in common speech or avoid its use because it's so terribly misapplied and misinterpreted?
Do I use the term evolved? Yes, I do, because I think when you use the term evolved, it's become a generic term, and it doesn't mean I agree with blind Darwinian evolution. I think the term evolved is a neutral, anodyne term, and I'm happy to use it in common speech and uncommon speech.
Yeah. Now, this next question, I'm going to actually let you read it, Eric, because it's all about your letter to the American church.
Okay. This was
a big one.
This is a long one. Yeah. Okay. Let me read this one. Okay. Somebody writes in and says, Eric, after listening to a few of your interviews and looking into your book, Letter to the American Church, I cannot help but ask about your affiliation with the Episcopal Church. According to various sources, including Wikipedia, you've attended the Episcopal Church. You've encouraged American churches to speak out and take political positions on the various social issues that you may view as evil. The Episcopal Church has done just that, but not in the way one would expect from a Christian church. The Episcopal Church recently resolved, quote-unquote, that the 80th General Convention calls for the Episcopal Church to advocate for access to gender-affirming care in all forms, social, medical, or any other, and at all ages. Transgender medical procedures in all forms and at all ages are being promoted by the Episcopal Church. The Episcopal Church also wrote, quote, resolved that the Episcopal Church recognizes that access to abortion is a key element in preserving the health, independence, and autonomy of those who can bear children, otherwise known as women. What say you? Well, yeah. Listen, while I was attending an Episcopal church, which is some years ago. I was doing so knowing that the Episcopal church generally has gone off the rails. And when they say things like this, this is lunacy. This is anti-Christian. It's wrong on every level. So I have never been an advocate for the Episcopal church. I have been a member of an Episcopal church here in New York City. I mean, I haven't for many years, but the point is that, you know, just because you attend a church doesn't mean you agree with everything that's going on there. So, I don't know. Sometimes Wikipedia is like, you know, it's, I don't know why it even mentions that I went to an Episcopal church. I've also been to, you know, Presbyterian churches and Pentecostal churches, and, you know, so it's kind of funny. But I agree with what this person says. I mean, I'm horrified by the direction and the preposterous, insane statements of the Episcopal Church and many mainline denominations. So thanks for that question.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, this is from our friend Kurt. He writes some interesting questions. I hear that you and Albin are selling autographed copies of your books at the Metaxas store, which is shopmetaxas.com, by the way. They would make great Christmas gifts. But because of the news that Bob Dylan used an auto pen to sign 900 copies of his new book, Philosophy of Modern Song, and then charged people $599 for what they thought was a hand-signed copy, I'm a little leery of buying something inauthentic. You and Albin don't use auto pens to sign your books, do you?
Okay, I've got a lot to say on this. First of all, Albin said shopmetaxas.com. You can go to shopmetaxas.com, or you can just go to metaxastalk.com. That's our radio website, and where it says click, I think it says click on the shop or whatever it is. Shopmetaxas.com, or you can go to metaxastalk.com. I also want to point out that our friend Kurt misspelled the word leery. It's L-E-E-R-Y, not L-E-A-R-Y. Ha!
Ha!
And finally, let me make the point that I would never, I mean, actually, it's kind of funny because we know Kurt a little bit, but if I found out that I bought an autographed copy of something and it had been signed by a quote-unquote auto pen, I would be outraged. It is... That is, I know, poor Bob Dylan, man. I don't know how he got sucked into that. But I got to tell you right now, I sign, and this is really true, whether it's a book plate or it's a book, I wouldn't dream of not signing it myself. And even if it looks fake, it's not fake. I would never do that. Yeah. To me, that would be simple fraud.
I sign all my Hamster Homes books. I draw a picture of myself, and I sign them Pete Rose. So
yeah, exactly.
Done.
No, but seriously, I take this really seriously, so that's a good question. Yeah, I would never do that. To me, that's unethical. Okay, keep going.
Okay, is it ever okay to sever the relationship when a family member remains that committed to allowing and supporting the evil that exists in their political party?
I'm not in favor of severing relationships. If somebody wants to sever a relationship with me, that's on them. And many people have done that. And I'll tell you, it's heartbreaking to me, honestly, because I love my friends, even if they disagree with me. I really love them. And our friendships are, at least to me, more important than whether we agree or disagree. So I don't think, you know, unless it's simply untenable, it's impossible. Sometimes we let friendships just erode because it becomes an argument. But I think to the extent that you can, we're supposed to love people with whom we disagree. So if you have a relative that is sleeping with somebody outside of marriage, they have a different view, you know, that doesn't need to come up in conversation every day. You can still love them, and maybe they already know how you feel about that, or they know how you feel about certain politics. But I think always try to err on the side of love and inclusion when it comes to these things. If somebody wants to cancel you and wants to cut you off, that's on them. But to the extent that I can, I would not do that.
Yeah. You mentioned your cousin, I guess it's Jürgen.
This is question number six. Go.
Yeah. Yeah. Is it Jürgen in your miracles book? I'm curious, are you still in contact with him? Is he happy not to be living under communism anymore?
I don't think I mentioned my cousin Jürgen. He's my second cousin in the Miracles book. I think it is in my book, Fish Out of Water.
Yeah, I think so too, yeah.
And I remember, I talk about when I was 8 years old, being in Germany, in East Germany, And Jürgen was, you know, living under the communist regime. Of course, I visited many, many times, and I now know Jürgen as an adult. And of course, all of my relatives who were in East Germany are very pleased that it is no longer communist East Germany. I love them. I'm in correspondence with many of them. They're just very dear to my heart. So if you read my book, Fish Out of Water, I am in touch with them, and I love them, and I'm thrilled, as they are thrilled, no longer to be living under communism. We're out of time. We'll be back with the rest of the program. In case you haven't been paying attention, the Biden administration has caused a financial crisis, and they have no clue how to fix it. Oil prices have skyrocketed, and when oil prices go up, the cost of transportation and shipping spikes, leading the prices of goods to rise. And when we're already seeing record inflation, that's the last thing we need. Our economy is in trouble, and you need to take steps to protect yourself. If all your money is tied up in stocks, bonds, and traditional markets, you are vulnerable. Gold is one of the best ways to protect your retirement. No matter what happens, you own your gold. It is real. It is physical. It's always been valuable since the dawn of time. Legacy Precious Metals is the company I trust for investing in gold. They can help you roll your retirement account into a gold-backed IRA where you still own the physical gold. They can also ship gold and precious metals safely and securely to your house. Call Legacy at 866-528-1903 or visit them online at legacypminvestments.com. It's hard to grasp why anyone would keep voting for record inflation, skyrocketing crime, and an open border. Likewise, why would anyone keep funding the left by sticking with the big carriers? Patriot Mobile is America's only Christian conservative wireless provider, and they want to make it easy for you to try their service. Give them 60 days to show you why I trust them. Right now, when you try Patriot Mobile for 2 months, get your third month free, plus get free activation. They offer nationwide coverage on the best 4G and 5G networks and use the same towers as all three of the major carriers. So you get the same great service while supporting a company that's fighting to preserve our God-given rights and freedoms. Just go to patriotmobile.com/Eric or call their 100% U.S.-based customer service team at 972-PATRIOT. If you're fed up with woke companies that don't care about your values, support a company that does. Make the switch today and get a free month of service plus free activation. PatriotMobile.com/Eric. That's PatriotMobile.com/Eric or call 972-PATRIOT. Hey, folks. Welcome back. I continue my conversation now with Jenna Ellis. Jenna, at the end of hour one today, you brought up the golden triangle of freedom, which I have written about and spoken about everywhere I go. Oz Guinness is the one who came up with the term, but you were going to talk about that.
Yeah, and your book, If We Can Keep It, has had a profound impact on my life.
Oh.
And I love that book.
Thank you, honestly, because coming from you, that absolutely thrills me.
I love that book, and I've read it probably a dozen times. I mean, it's amazing. And in that book, you articulate this principle that you and Oz Guinness also talked about, where the golden triangle of freedom requires virtue, which requires faith, which requires freedom, and you keep going around. And as you were talking in the last hour about how you are hopeful, you believe in our republic, you believe in principles of liberty and of being a good person in the sense of having honesty, integrity, all of those things. One of those things that Oz mentioned at the Socrates in the City, and I hope everyone goes back and listens to that conversation, it was amazing, was that he said virtue has to be taught. And this is where the Republican Party, like the Democrats, and why I call it a uniparty, they are no longer standing for or teaching or modeling virtue. They are modeling political partisanship and corruption. And people think that somehow we just all instinctively know what it means to be a good person. We all do have the Word of God written in our hearts. We know there's a measurable difference between right and wrong, good and evil. But we can only truly define that measurable difference when we have a standard and we have a contrast and a comparison and a perspective. And if we have the standard, that fixed point of reference, that is Jesus Christ, the personification of truth, and we have a moral objective premise, then we can define what it means to be virtuous. And our Republican Party, our political system, and then our culture as well, has intentionally and purposefully not just forgotten that, but they've intentionally and purposefully corrupted that. We no longer teach virtue, and we need to.
Well, and it's interesting. You don't need to be a Christian to get virtue. This is the funny thing. I mean, when you're talking about the classical Greeks, understanding virtue and saying that virtue has to be taught, of course, that is a biblical worldview. They didn't know it was a biblical worldview because the ancient the Greeks, the classical era in Greece, they were not familiar with the Bible. But truth is truth. Reality is reality. It's inescapable. So they were on to a number of big things, simply not knowing where it came from.
Until Paul came on Mars Hill and said, let me tell you.
And by then it was too late. Aristotle was dead. Dead, I tell you, for 300 years. But the point is that these concepts are vital. So virtue is at the heart of freedom. It's not possible, all the founders said this, it's not possible to have freedom, real freedom, without people who understand, at least to understand the importance of virtue. This is not to say that we can always be perfectly virtuous, but if you don't have a culture that talks about virtue and that tries to inculcate values into the younger generation, if that goes away, freedom goes away. There's no way around it. Mm-hmm. And so we're talking about really, really important things. And that's why, you know, when I, as I wake up to the idea that there are so many Republicans that don't believe any of this stuff. It's not on their radar. I don't know where they're coming from. Mm-hmm. So they may not be Marxists, but they are certainly helping the Marxists because they are not aware of what they themselves believe so that they can counter what it is that the cultural Marxists are trying to bring into the culture. So they're really, they're right. Useless.
Right. And you know, we often define the political spectrum as linear, and we have the far left and the far right. But I've started recently to describe it almost as a bell curve. Because, or even circular, if you want to say that, the far left and the far right actually have way more in common than they would like to realize, because totalitarianism and complete abject libertinism and anarchy have the same fundamental principle, which is every man does what's right in his own eyes. And is it just the sovereign military enforcer of totalitarianism, or is it the man of the house, my kingdom, get off my lawn, right? It's the same thing, that man is in control in either of those two paradigms.
Right.
But we have to describe virtue as a fixed moral premise, because where our culture has gotten so far off and the Republican Party has gotten so far off is that if we have moral relativism and we suggest that good and virtue is up to every individual, then we can no longer have a conversation about good and virtue, because then by what metric and by what standard should anyone tell me that I'm wrong? You are supposed to, in a relativistic society, affirm any life choice that I want. The libertarians would like to say, well, there's a non-aggression principle. But all they do is in an economic-based capitalist system. They can't even describe why capitalism should be better
right.
than the collective good of
right.
BLM.
Right.
Right. So we have to go back, and the Republican Party has to find, not itself, they have to find God again.
Well, it's interesting, because getting back to Oz Guinness's formulation, the Golden Triangle of Freedom, you know, he says, okay, freedom requires virtue, virtue requires faith, faith in turn requires freedom, which is to say, and this point needs to be made, faith is utterly essential to American freedom, but faith cannot be coerced. Faith cannot mm-hmm. be legislated. So we're not talking about theocracy, because once you go in that direction, you've destroyed freedom. So there's a paradox at the heart of all of this, and we have to understand the paradox. If you don't understand this, folks, then you're going to be going in one direction or the other, and it all becomes authoritarian and it's anti-freedom. And so the reason I want to fight for Christian values being brought into the culture and into government, why? Because it will protect atheists. It will protect Muslims. It will protect, in other words, these are the values that give people religious freedom, whether they are Christians or not. So this is the irony, in a sense, is that you can't have these freedoms without a biblical view, but you can't coerce the biblical view. You can't force the biblical view. So there's this conundrum. And so when people say, oh, you're just fighting for your Christian values, and, you know, I always say, listen, these Christian values will fight for you. Mm-hmm. That's the whole point, is that this, I don't know how you get freedom and you get any kind of a fair playing field unless you believe in these things. So,
well, and in a relativistic society, shouldn't they be saying, of course you're fighting for your truth and your values, and who would they then be to not affirm my truth? Right. So it's an inconsistent proposition anyway.
Right.
But also to also quote what Oz Guinness said as well about the definition of freedom. He said it so profoundly at the patron's dinner, where he said, freedom is not the ability to do what we want. It's the freedom to have the power to do what we ought.
Yeah. And I can't remember. I always forget who he's quoting. I was going to say it's not Lord Acton, but it's somebody from that period. But yes, to really understand what is freedom. Freedom is not negative freedom, or maybe it was it Isaiah Berlin, the philosopher. Anyway, when Oz was at Cambridge in the 60s, Isaiah Berlin was one of the professors at Cambridge. But in any event, for us in America to understand what it means to be American means we have to understand what is freedom on our model. It's not just license. It's the freedom to do what we ought. It's really. It's vitally, vitally important.
And it's not just negative rights. A lot of people under a natural law philosophy will articulate it as just negative rights, as saying, you know, we have the freedom from government intrusion and so forth. But the founders expressed in the First Amendment all of these positive rights as well. The free exercise of religion is not just the ability to have the government not compel me to go to church, but I have the freedom to go to the church of my choice, to actively express my faith,
well,
and
actually,
to be actively involved.
I was going to say, I'd go farther, right? In other words, what they were saying, the free exercise thereof means that it's not just that I can go to the church I choose. It's that when I leave that church on Sunday morning, I can take what I learned in that church into every sphere of life. I can exercise my faith in the public sphere. And the founders, I mean, part of the problem is that the founders all understood this. And it was so, in some ways, obvious and accepted that they couldn't really foresee a future in which you'd have to make the case for this. They kind of assumed that, you know, when we're talking about religion, we're not talking about Zoroastrianism. We're not talking about, it was kind of an accepted Protestant Christian world, and they knew that this was something that was central to the freedom that they were fighting to win and to keep. We're going to another break. I'm talking to Jenna Ellis, folks. You can find her at thejennaellisshow.com, thejennaellisshow.com. You can find me at ericmetaxas.com, and we'll be right back.
I'd be nowhere at all, and oh, what would I do if not for you? If not for you, winter would hold no spring.
Tell me, Eric, why is Relief Factor so successful at lowering or eliminating pain? I'm often asked that question. The owners of Relief Factor tell me they believe our bodies were designed to heal. That's right, designed to heal, and I agree with them. So the doctors who formulated Relief Factor for them selected the four best ingredients, yes, 100% drug-free ingredients. Each helps your body deal with inflammation. Each of the four ingredients deals with inflammation from a different metabolic pathway. And that right there, approaching from four different angles, may be why so many people find such wonderful relief. So if you've got back pain, shoulder, neck, hip, knee, or foot pain from exercise or just getting older, you should order the 3-week quick start discounted to only $19.95 to see if it will work for you. It works for me. It has for about 70% of the 500,000 people who've tried it and have ordered more. Go to relieffactor.com or call 800-4-RELIEF to find out about this offer. Feel the difference. As hard as it may be for us to comprehend here in America, there are people in other parts of the world whose very lives are being threatened simply for believing in Jesus. In fact, people are being enslaved for their faith. Some have been in bondage for 25 or 30 years. If you've been listening for any period of time, you know I'm passionate about the work of Christian Solidarity International, a ministry that sets these captives free. There are hundreds of thousands persecuted and enslaved in the Middle East. Together, we can literally buy their freedom and save the lives of some precious brothers and sisters this Christmas, giving them the joy and hope that we celebrate freely. For only $250, you can provide life-saving aid this Christmas. You can buy a believer's freedom and provide them with much-needed food, a goat, and other goods necessary for their very survival. These are brothers and sisters who are enslaved and fearing for their lives. Just $250. Maybe you can give more, maybe a portion. Every gift helps. Imagine buying a fellow believer's freedom. Call 888-253-3522. 888-253-3522. Christian Solidarity, providing life-saving resources for persecuted Christians for almost 40 years. 888-253-3522 or metaxastalk.com and click on the Christian Solidarity banner. Give someone the gift of their freedom for Christmas. Thank you.
Comes a time. Folks, I'm back with Jenna Ellis. Jenna, you were just about to make a point. We went to break.
Yeah, and that is exactly what exercising means. And if we go back to Hebrews 11 and the Hall of Faith, what is faith in biblical terms? It's believing in the promises of God and acting on those promises, living your life in light of the promises and the new covenant in Jesus's blood and the word of truth. It is acting on faith, and the founders did not expect us to only be Christians inside the four walls of the church. They expected that people of faith would be Christians 100% of the time, and so free exercise is exactly what you said, which is the ability to act and to positively act. I mean, even all of these expressions within the First Amendment is not just government restraint, but is also recognizing, not giving license to, but recognizing the inalienable right that our founders put in the Declaration that comes from God Himself, that we can speak, we can associate, we can act, we can publish in any forum, everything about our faith. And so this also leads into what we were, what we teased in the first hour, which is this whole idea of faithful presence that Oz Guinness also talked about. And I thought he articulated it so beautifully that Christians can't just say, you know, what it means to love our neighbor and love each other is to just sit back and say, you know, I'm not going to offend you. I'm just going to sit back and be a good Christian. No, faith in the context of Hebrews 11, if you look at the history of who God showed us and said are faithful people, they acted on the promises of God and received a blessing for it. We have to be active Christians in our culture, in our families, in our churches, in every sphere.
And by the way, when people say, you know, just loving my neighbor, it's just kind of like evangelical cliche. I want to spit. What does that mean? If I fight against the slave trade, if I fight against corruption in government, if I fight in these political spheres and in the culture, I'm loving my neighbor because my neighbor is going to live in a world that is dominated either by corrupt people or that is going to be economically crushed because of socialist or communist policies. So the idea that loving my neighbor is only this little private thing, I think to myself, that's historically completely inaccurate. When William Wilberforce said, I am going to lead the battle in Parliament to abolish the slave trade, there were people who said to him, no, don't mix faith and politics. And he's thinking, what are you talking about? The Bible and my faith lead me to believe that it is my duty to use my political power, my influence, my voice to help people that I will never meet. And I will. They are my neighbor. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to fight for that. I'm going to fight for justice. I'm going to fight, by the way, for everybody in England at the time was participating in this wicked thing called the slave trade. Their economy was bolstered by it. And he he loved his neighbor by being politically active. And so when somebody, you know, it's James Hunter at UVA wrote this book where he popularizes this idea of faithful presence. And, you know, there's something to it, and it's not completely wrongheaded. But it seems to me that it's an excuse for many people to say, well, I don't want to be I don't want to win back the media or win back government. I'm thinking, folks, of course you want to be involved in those things because it will bless people. If you have a free and a fair media, and if the truth of God is getting out, you're going to bless people. That's how you love your neighbor. So the idea that, no, I'm just fighting for my thing and I want – no, this is not culture warring. Mm-hmm. This is called loving your neighbor writ large, you know, and so
yeah, and it's
I
not my thing, it's God's thing. Well, that, and we can't even define love without first defining truth and who the person of truth is. And so for all these people who are saying, oh, love your neighbor, and it's kind of this vague, nebulous term, well, Gavin Newsom defined love your neighbor as pro-choice and killing babies and pro-abortion in the state of California. And so if you leave this open to subjective definitions, then love no longer has any meaning whatsoever. And so for all these people who would love to take these verses out of context, like my favorite in the sense of politics is when people say, well, the Bible says don't judge, and you're judging, Jenna. I'm like, yeah, but what does the rest of Matthew 18 talk about? That's the entire process of how God arbitrates disputes among Christians and people who claim to be Christians. And of course, we can look at fruits, and we have to take the entire context of God. And what people are missing is that politics cannot be cabined and isolated by itself. If we are truly Christians in the world and not of the world, as the Apostle Paul articulated it, we start with the biblical worldview as the total truth, as my good friend Nancy Piercy said in her book. And then from there, every single aspect of everything we do in life, culture, vocation, politics included, has to be started from a Christian worldview, and there is a Christian way to be engaged in all of those subject matters. And it's not an option. It's not just an opportunity. It is a command and it's a duty.
Well, we've covered a lot here, but I was going to say it's fascinating to me. Oz Guinness was yesterday on this program talking with me about this, again, this wrongheaded idea, which where people talk about, well, the first century Christians, like they're the model, the first century Christians, because, you know, they're the first century Christians. That's right at the beginning. And you think, yes, but they were under the Roman yoke. They did not have the freedoms that we have in America. We have been given a gift by God. Mm-hmm. We can govern ourselves. We can advocate for the truth. We can speak in the public sphere. We have a duty to do that. And so when people say, yes, but the early Christians, they didn't do that. And you think, yes, they didn't do it because they were living under Caesar. We have this tremendous gift, which I say is a duty to advocate. We're out of time. We'll be back another segment with Jenna Ellis.
With the overturn of Roe v. Wade, lots of companies are coming out saying they'll pay for employee abortion travel and expenses. Most of you have heard about some of these companies. You've decided to stop shopping or doing business there, but did you know that you most likely own stock in those companies through your 401ks, IRAs, and other investment accounts? Folks, this is a huge problem, and we need to do something about this to send a message to Wall Street through our investments. You need to go to inspireadvisors.com/Eric and get a free Inspire Impact Report. This biblical investment analysis will educate you on what's really in your investment accounts, like companies paying for abortion travel. You need to go to inspireadvisors.com/Eric to connect with an Inspire Advisors financial professional who can run your report and help remove companies paying for abortion travel today. Go to inspireadvisors.com/Eric. That's inspireadvisors.com/Eric. Advisory services are offered through Inspire Advisors LLC, a registered investment advisor with the SEC.
Hey, folks, you've all
helped build MyPillow into the incredible company it is today. Now, Mike Lindell, inventor and CEO of MyPillow, wants to give back to you, my listeners. So right now, MyPillow is offering exclusive offers on their bed sheets, their six-piece towel set, and even offering an extended 60-day money-back guarantee. Orders placed now through December 25th will have an extended money-back guarantee through March 1st. The bed sheets are marked down as low as $29.98. Believe me when I say you'll get a great night's sleep. Their six-piece towel set is made with USA cotton. It comes with two bath towels, two hand towels, and two washcloths. Typically retails at $89.98, now just $39.98 with promo code ERIC. Limited supply, so be sure to order now. Call 1-800-978-3057, 1-800-978-3057. Use promo code ERIC or go to MyPillow.com. Click on the radio listener square. Use promo code ERIC. These offers will not last long. They're known to sell quickly. So order now with promo code ERIC at MyPillow.com. MyPillow.com, promo code ERIC. Welcome back. I'm talking to Jenna Ellis. You can find her at thejennaellisshow.com. So, Jenna, where does this leave us? Where are we? What are we?
We are here, Eric, in this moment that for everyone who believes in the truth of the Word of God and His ultimate sovereignty, it is no accident or mistake that you and I and everyone listening are born at the time we were, in the place that we are, and with the inheritance of liberty and the current government system that we are combating. This is not the first time in world history that Christians have had to stand up with courage. And listening to Oz Guinness and his his life story is incredible, and what he went through with the Reign of Terror in China, all of that is nothing compared to what we're going through. But at the same time, we've had it so easy in this country that what happens when people like Justice Elena Kagan say, sorry, you can't stand up for traditional marriage, otherwise your business is going to go under. Sorry, you can't even stand up for traditional marriage like Candace Cameron Bure, who is there was just somebody who left the set of Full House because she absolutely had to talk about traditional marriage. And I thought, good for her. Because at what point did we ever decide that being Christians in our moment that God has given us to continue to put forward His truth and ultimately change hearts and minds and win souls for Christ? So that's the purpose of man, is to love and worship God continually forever and to bring everyone that we can to heaven. When did we decide as Americans that that may not cost us something? So even if we are like the early church that is under the reign and terror of Caesar, we need to stand up with courage and to continue to say, yes, marriage is an institution that can't be redefined by man. And sorry, Justice Kagan, you are wrong. And I'm going to continue to stand firm regardless of who tells me that I can't, because I serve someone greater and who has the ultimate moral authority and the only truth that's even worth talking about.
Well, I mean, I really think this is a clarifying moment for the church in America where because it's costing some of us something, and it's cost you something, and it's cost me something for sure. I know this. Maybe not much compared to people historically, of course. But the point is, we ought to rejoice. The scripture tells us to rejoice when all men speak evil of you, or when this or that. Rejoice, because you're actually getting to live out your faith in history. Because when you get to heaven, it's going to be too late. You don't get to be courageous. Now you're in heaven. This is where we get to live out our faith, and it's a beautiful opportunity. And God tells us over and over and over that this is why I called you to faith. This is why you exist, is to live out that faith. And we've gotten this bad idea in the American church that it shouldn't cost us anything. Everybody's going to like me. And if I'm really likable, more people will want. Well, no.
They'll love your neighbor squidginess.
Yeah. And this doesn't mean that, you know, that we should all not want to be liked. But the point is, at some point, you will maybe have someone disagree with you. And listen, if you're not nasty and vicious, that can be a good thing. That can lead people to think. I remember it happened to me. My dear friend Ed Tuttle who led me to faith back at Union Carbide. I remember him saying a couple of things that bothered me at the time. But here I am, you know. In other words, that he was not vicious or whatever, but he shared some things that I disagreed with. And I think that's going to happen, folks. If you love somebody, sometimes you're going to say something that's true, and they may have to go away and think about it for 5 minutes or 10 minutes or a year or 10 years. But, you know, it's
but
in God's
Jesus
hands.
Jesus said, don't be surprised when the world hates you, because they hated me first. And so when we're talking with Christians, with other Christians, we can hope that they will be exhorted and take that exhortation, and we've won our brother. But when we're talking to people who don't have Christ, we shouldn't be surprised when they hate us. I mean, Winston Churchill said, if you don't have any enemies, you never stood for anything in your life. And so this is our moment. And, you know, as you were speaking, Eric, I was reminded in college, I listened to, probably for the first time, I guess, and I don't know if it was a recent song or not at the time, but the song by Switchfoot that says, "This is your life. Are you who you want to be?" And that changed my perspective on my life at the time, because I thought, what a profound question. And if this is our moment for the Lord, am I who I want to be for him? And do I have my soul identity in Christ? Do I know where I'm spending eternity? Have I done everything today for the Lord that I possibly can? Those are the only questions ultimately that matter. Who do I and who do you say that Jesus is? That's all that matters.
And the truth will come out. I mean, this is the thing, people. We have to remember, God decides what's right and wrong. And if you stand for the truth, you will eventually be exonerated. It might not be till you get to see him face to face. But the point is, you know that God wins, that truth wins. And you need to worry about what he thinks and about what he says, because that's the ultimate reality. You know, it's kind of like, who holds the ultimate purse strings? You're going to be with him for eternity. You need to worry about what he thinks about what you're saying or doing or not saying or doing. But that's called reality. That's the reality in which we live. And I think that there's some people that think, well, I don't know. I don't want to. I'm thinking, we get to live out our faith. Mm-hmm. And there's something beautiful. So I say it because I think people are missing this beautiful opportunity by living in these half measures and being afraid. And I think, yeah, you know, you were talking earlier about Ron DeSantis. I mean, people are looking for leadership. Mm-hmm. And I think that there are a lot of people that don't believe in the God that we believe in. But when they see us living out our faith and talking about truth, there are many people that are attracted to that and going, you know, I didn't know Christians could ever be brave. I've only met mealy-mouthed Christians that were so nice that I had no use for them. And
well,
I think there's something beautiful about it.
100%. Look at our founders who said, with firm reliance on the supreme judge of the universe for the rectitude of our intentions, we mutually pledge our very lives, our fortunes, and our sacred honor. How can we do any less in advocating for truth in this great nation?
What a place to end. Jenna Ellis, my friend, thank you. I hope people will go to the JennaEllisShow.com. And, you know, just thrilled to have you in the studio. Thank you.
Always love it, Eric. Thank you.
Alvin, have you done your Christmas shopping yet?
I have not.
Neither have I. But here's the thing. Most people listening right to us right now, actually, they haven't done their Christmas shopping.
No.
They think that the idea will just come to them. That's what happens to me. And then the idea doesn't come to me. So I want to make a suggestion for Christmas gifts. If you go to any of our websites, okay, if you go to my website, ericmetaxas.com. You can go to socratesinthecity.com. You can go to metaxastalk.com. There are a number of lovely gifts there. Most of my books are available. If you want an autograph copy, that always makes a very special gift. You can get those at socratesinthecity.com. You can get those at metaxastalk.com. myfreedom.com. And if you go to mystore.com or mypillow.com and you use the code ERIC, you get a special discount. You help this program. You help keep us on the air. And you help our friend Mike Lindell, who's a hero. And you're buying American-made products. That's mystore.com and mypillow.com if you use the code ERIC. And tell your friends to use the code ERIC, please, instead of using whatever, I don't know, generic code that's floating around out there. But these all would make terrific places to find Christmas gifts that have some meaning. But the ultimate meaning would be if you were to go to MetaxasTalk.com and click on the banner at the top of the page, and you could help free a slave from literal slavery in southern Sudan. As you know, radical Muslims, they don't have a biblical worldview. They think slavery is a good thing, and they've enslaved Christians, and they persecute them, and they do horrible things, and these people are enslaved while we're talking right now. You can participate with Christian Solidarity International in freeing these slaves. And whatever you give goes toward that. I think that is the ultimate Christmas gift. It is such a beautiful thing. It's a way of doing something that is extraordinary and meaningful in a transcendent way. It's not just a gift. So whatever you're inclined to do, whatever you're inclined to give, $250 is the amount that frees a slave from slavery. So if you can give that amount, you can actually tell whoever you're giving this gift to, we have freed a slave, a human being. Mm-hmm. In your name, we gave this gift. This is our gift to you. And obviously, it's tax deductible. You have to go to MetaxasTalk.com, and you can see the banner. I'll give you the phone number in a minute if you prefer to call. But the idea that we get to do this, folks, Christian Solidarity International, they're involved in doing this. It's an astonishing thing that they're there doing this, that they can do this, and that they've made it possible. This doesn't just free a slave from slavery, but it gets this person set up in a life of freedom. So they get all kinds of things, and, yes, and Kevin McCullough has been on this program explaining what they get. They get all kinds of stuff to set them up in a life of freedom. It's nearly impossible to comprehend that this is happening and that we get to be a part of it. So I want to tell you, do not miss this, folks. It's very rare you get an opportunity to do an unmitigated good, a glorious, glorious thing, whatever it is that you give. Some people can give a lot of money. If somebody can give a gift of $10,000, it would be my honor to spend an evening with you, whatever you want to do. You want to put together a group of people or just two or three of us or whatever it is, either in New York or when I come to your neck of the woods. But you have to go to MetaxasTalk.com. The phone number before we go, please write it down, 888-253-3522. 888-253-3522. Do not miss this, MetaxasTalk.com.
Three-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.